Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation, where we explore key issues and compelling stories in the trucking industry. I'm your host, Dayton Rumbold, and you're listening to episode 118, The Building Fell Down, telling stories with Kennel Aurelius. Kennel tells about growing up in Haiti, becoming a photographer, and experiencing the earthquake, and meeting Anderson Cooper? What? To learn more about Kennel and his story, please tune in to this featured exchange. Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. I'm with Kennel Aurelius. Thanks for being here.
I'm glad to be here too.
Yeah, the man from Haiti, the man that met Anderson Cooper.
Exactly.
He's here to share his story, and I'm excited to have you here. So I heard a lot about you and just your great attitude. And today we're going to just dive into your story, talk about Haiti, talk about the earthquake, taking those pictures, meeting Anderson Cooper. So thanks for being here.
Yes, I'm so glad and thank you for taking me today here at the podcast. And I'm so happy, exciting to, you know, guys tell like everything about my story.
Yeah, that's sweet. Okay. So to start, we have this icebreaker question. Okay. So if you want to pull out one of those.
Just one. Okay. Describe your sense of humor on the word. Yes. You need to answer that one.
Do you like that?
Yes.
Okay.
So you see in the world and the word, so
so describe your sense of humor in one word.
I just like to smile.
Smile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And even I'm in trouble. You say in one word, I just want to give you that expansion.
Yeah.
What I say, I just, in everything you can see, I'm smiling. Even I'm sad or happy.
Yeah.
Because I've been through many things.
Been through a lot.
Yeah, a lot. And then I learned how to hide stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't need, like, example. I can, like, behind the microphone, actually, talking to, and I got a problem in my house. And listen, you're not the one putting me in problem. You know, so whatever I got my house, so I have to take care of it.
Yeah.
But I have to keep it in my house.
Yeah.
But you talk to me, we can talk in, like, you know, smile, you know, laugh all day. But I know behind my head, I got something home I have to fix. You know?
Yeah.
That's why I say everything in one word, I just smile.
Okay.
No.
Smile.
That's the best thing I think everybody should do, because that help.
Yeah.
Being smile, that's help.
And smiles have to be genuine, too. It's something that's hard to do. Not every day you want to smile, but.
Yes, not every day. You're not going to, like, try to smile like a funny thing. But when I say smile, you don't need to show your face like you anger.
Yeah.
You got, like, example, I can, like, you know, I'm so happy working for Nussbaum, because for me, actually, it's one of the best company, a truck company we got. I can have a little issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I feel a little bit like frustrated, because we're human. And so once I call, you know, my DM, whoever pick up the phone, and then only, hi, how are you, Kennel? How can I help you? And then everything drop off. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm saying that's a good attitude, because you guys, the way you answered, already put me in good, you know, good situation. I said, oh, wow. Even I try to show I'm mad. So, well, who I'm talking to is very nice.
Yeah.
So I have to be nice to say, hey, I got a little issue. Can you help me out?
Yeah.
And then it's done. That's why I'm saying smile. It's very important. Good attitude, humor. It's very important.
It's very important.
Yeah.
Kylie is your DM?
Yes.
Okay.
She is. And she's always speak very nice, you know. It's not even Kylie. Not only Kylie. Whoever, like, picked up the phone. If Kylie's not to buy her the phone, it's always the same attitude. It's always the same thing. And I love it.
Yeah,
that's a good behavior. You know, we got in
a
news bomb, and I keep talking to my friend, even my family, whoever like trucking. I mean, it's a trucker.
Yeah.
And then when they're frustrated, because you know, when you truck driver, any truck driver you got like as a friend or family, they call you sometime when we're on the road, we're talking to each other. Oh, you know, my DM make me, you know, mad.
Yeah.
And I say, I'm sorry, I don't have nothing to say about my DM or my company. And they say, you always happy, you always, I say, but that's the way they keep me. So they doing things the way I like even better.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't even expect that happen, you know.
I read this survey yesterday. Yeah. It just random popped up in my newsfeed that this one thing can make or break any job. And it's not the salary. It's not the job title, but it is the people you work with make or break the job.
My cousin like to call that the package.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I'm talking about newsroom, you like to say, no, okay, no, it's the package.
Yeah.
It's like you said, money is something we need.
Mm-hmm.
But money is not resolve everything.
Yeah.
It can't be. So when you got a package like newsroom give it to us right now, so how can you run away? You know what I mean? It's not like only like the money. Say, we get paid good, yes.
Yeah.
And I love it. But when you see the package, the way they treat us, you know, the way they really care about us when you call, the way they really care about the equipment. So where are you going?
Yeah.
So that's why.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Really, thanks for sharing that. And Haiti, you speak French Creole, is that correct?
Yes, in Haiti we speak, that's our mother language, it's Creole. But I just want to clear with everybody. Haiti we speak Creole and French. But there's something a lot of people like around the world didn't know about French.
Mm-hmm.
We speak French when we went to school for that. Is that something we speak home?
Yeah.
You know, some of us, we speak that at home, but let's say 90% people in Haiti speak straight Creole.
Yeah.
But we cannot understand French.
Yeah.
Because Creole, it's a French broken language.
Mm-hmm.
Like, example, Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jamaican people, they speak a broken English.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something came from English. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yes, like me, I speak French.
Can you speak a little bit for us?
Oh, yes. Bonjour, ça va? Je suis très content, très fier d'être capable de travailler à Newsbomb. I'm going to try to say exactly what I just say. I say, good morning. It's okay. And I'm so happy I can work for Newsbomb company.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sac passé.
Sac passé, it's like, comment ça va? How is everything?
How's it going? That's the only thing I know.
Oh, you might know more if you visit Haiti one day.
Yeah.
It's a good, let's say, cool country. People over there, they are very cool and they are very, like, you know, sensitive.
Uh-huh.
But actually, we got a big problem, not a little problem, because it's a political problem. It's from the, you know, politic problem, I would say. That's why you can see us now flee.
Yeah.
Left the country like crazy. We got a security. We don't have, like, really, like, security like you have here, guys.
Okay.
And if you want me to keep going, give some history about Haiti.
Yeah. Let's dive into what was Haiti like growing up. So you've always lived in Haiti, right? Like you were born.
Yeah, all my life.
Born
all
and raised my life. In Haiti.
I just left Haiti like 10 years now.
Port-au-Prince, which is the
Port-au-Prince.
Capital.
Yes.
So what was that like growing up in Haiti?
Okay. Good. Compared to you guys here, it's let's say it's like daylight and then night.
Yeah. That different.
Yeah, it's we got a big difference. We're going straight to our culture, our family, the way our education look like, and the way we they feed us, they used to feed us, like, you know, when going to school, and the way our teacher teach us, and that's a lot of thing being different. And you guys here, when you going to school, I see you got a package. Mm-hmm. You know, your school, they got food for you, they got you got a bus, you know, ready for you, and you don't really need to wear like a uniform, and you don't pay. Okay, and my country is, those are totally different, because us, we have to pay every month for our school.
For school, you pay yourself. Pay for school. The government doesn't pay for that.
No, the government don't do that. We pay, and then we have to wear in like a uniform, mm-hmm. you know, like for our clothes. And then our food, we have to either, you know, our foods, or we have to buy. So there's nothing free over there.
Yeah.
There's nothing free.
Nothing's free. And you probably have to work a little bit harder to do the stuff you want to do. Like you said, the school bus comes to pick you up in the U.S., but versus there, like, how does that work?
Here, since I came here, I saw you guys, you have to go to the gym. I'm sorry to tell you that, but anyway, you don't need to go to the gym.
Right.
Because you're doing exercise all the time.
Every day is gym day.
Yeah, because you can work like 1, even 2 hours, depending on like where you live, to go to school. You know what I mean? So if your mom and your dad cannot afford like to pay your taxi or, you know, a traffic bus, you have to work. You have to work. Going to school back and forth.
Yeah.
So that can cost you 2 hours, 1 hour, depending like where you live.
Yes.
You know? So that's why I'm saying, guys, we're doing like exercise. I used to do that.
Yeah.
I used to work to go to my school. I think I was like working around like 45 minutes to 1 hour.
Yeah. So you would walk a lot.
Yeah.
To go everywhere you need to go.
Oh, not everywhere, because we got the traffic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, bus, stuff like that. But yes, it's not all the time, you know, you can afford to pay that, mm-hmm. be honest with you. And somehow the traffic don't go everywhere. Somewhere you have to go, you have to use your feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to use your foot to go over there.
Yeah. Some places the roads don't go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of mountain downhill over there. So it's not like here, guys, you got in a flat surface, flat ground. Mm-hmm. We don't have that much flat ground over there.
Yeah. So there are things that you look at the U.S. and say those things are better, but also there are probably some things that you would say that Haiti does better. I would say there are some things that are there. What do you think those are?
I would say about the food.
Yeah.
Because whatever we eat, it came from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So here I've learned to eat food from the frozen stuff.
Yeah.
So I have to looking for, you call guys organic here.
Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't even know what is organic or not, because everything came from the ground.
Right.
We all eat organic. And our education too.
Yeah.
It's more harder the way we learn over there. So the teacher, it's more strict.
He's more strict.
Yeah.
School is more strict.
Yeah, because your teacher is like your dad.
Mm-hmm.
He's like your mom.
Yes.
He's allowed to make you respect the law.
Yeah.
You know, very hard. The hard way if you want to.
Yeah.
So here, that's not happen.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't say he's not good. He's very good. But that's our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's our culture.
There's no getting out of trouble if you do something.
Oh, in Haiti?
Yes, or like in the school.
oh, you will be in trouble if you do something.
Yeah.
You will be in big trouble. not even your mom don't even to be getting through that of that. Mm-hmm. The school can take care of it without your mom. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Here I think they have to contact your mom, you know, to make everything going together. But
yeah, no,
they can take their own decision.
Yeah. So growing up, the outlook of your life is different than growing up in the U.S. Like your future, your career, the stuff you do probably looks a little bit different. What did your parents do? Did they...
My mom, she used to sell food, you know, like a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, he used to work on telecommunication,
mm-hmm.
For the telephone company.
Mm-hmm.
So since I start to use my brain like a smart people, I like to be. My mom, her dream was to see me like as a doctor.
Yeah.
And I told her, no, I don't like that.
Yeah.
So when I started to do first level, doing like a photo.
Uh-huh.
And my story to be a photographer, it was something very cool. So where I was on my school, I got the director. You know, the boss of that school, he had a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, and I asked him, can I take some picture? And then shoot some picture. He said, all right, so just be careful, don't break it. And then after I did that, a couple of days after, and he called me, say, let me show the picture you did. It's not that bad for the first time. And you know why?
What?
Next time, I asked him, can I use it?
Okay.
For my own purpose.
Yes.
And I did, and he said yes, and he gave it to me. Before we use the camera, we don't have SIM card. We used to use a filmmaker, something you just put in there.
Right, film.
Yeah, that's the one I used to use. And then it was so hard because you don't have any LED screen to see what you're doing.
No.
You know what I mean? So
point and shoot.
Yes, make sure you got it and then shoot.
Yeah.
And after that, and I made it, those pictures, that was like a funny thing, me and my friend, and they were good.
Mm-hmm.
And then my second time, I start to work to doing for money. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I have to go to school to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
And once I learn more, and then I start to be a professional. And that's the way I start to work. You know, if people gonna be have a wedding staff, or political, guys, people wanna be senator, people for the congressman. Let's say Congress here.
Yeah.
And they heard about me. They say, hey, oh, we're going somewhere. We need someone to shoot some photo mm-hmm. or video for us. And then that's the way I started. And
so let me get this straight. So we talked a little bit about
mm-hmm.
you growing up in Haiti.
Yes.
And then your director of the school, the principal, he had a camera.
Exactly.
And you're like, hey, I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
And then you took it and it turned out pretty good.
Yes.
Like some people have a natural eye for that. And it seems like you connected with it.
Yes.
Where did you go to school at? You said you went to school.
Yes.
Was there a school in Haiti?
Yes. We got a bunch of school in Haiti for that.
Okay.
So I went to school for that. And then even for the computer stuff too, that the same place.
Yes.
I've learned to make a video cut.
Uh-huh.
So once I'm done with that, and so I've teach my friends, and then we got our own crew. Our own team.
Yeah.
And then my life is started from there.
And then now you're a photographer.
Yes. And after, whatever you're doing better, people are going to talk about you and mm-hmm. then people are going to looking for you.
Yeah.
And then that's why I started working for television in my country and then the radio station too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They heard about me and then my boss, not anymore, but he offered me a job. He said, hey, I heard you're doing good stuff, so would you work for us? I didn't apply for a job.
Yeah.
My first job, I didn't apply for it. They offered me a job.
He offered it to you
yes.
because your name was going around.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the name of that company?
It's a Signal FM, yep. The radio and television. It's a radio and television, Signal FM.
They offer me to work. Yeah. Signal FM works for the government?
No, no, Signal FM, that's a radio station.
It's a radio station.
Okay, so when I start working for a Signal FM, after 1 year, and I start work for the government.
Okay. So you worked for Signal FM and the government?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Two separate jobs, but...
Yeah, two separate jobs.
Okay,
yeah,
yeah. But they lined up together.
Yeah, because, you know, the government, when they need you, so the Signal FM not going to hold me.
Oh.
They let me go.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's the government. If the government needs you to do something,
yeah,
Newsboom lets you go.
Yeah.
So you can do back and forth.
Okay. Yeah. So, and you did similar jobs at both places? You're taking photos, editing, doing that stuff.
My specific thing I used to do for the government, it's like shooting video and photo when they went to the farm or here. We call that the county, where you got the agriculture stuff. Mm-hmm. Show people, you know, about the vegetable, about the food. Yes, that's what I used to do. Mm-hmm. And sometime I work. Through to the, here you call that White House, mm-hmm. but my coach would call that Palais.
Yeah.
Yeah, I work for, like, with the president.
Okay.
Took picture for the president.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, a little bit.
Quite the honor.
Yeah. Yes.
So you were one of the best photographers in Haiti, is that right?
Yes, I had that, and I even have, like, two awards, I guess. Oh, yeah, for that, because after the earthquake in Haiti, I was qualified after my pictures, so I was the best one. Yeah, I was nominated like for the first best photographer in Haiti.
Yep.
Photographer, yeah.
Yeah, so we talked about you becoming a photographer, that story. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the earthquake and how that happened, your initial thoughts, and how it came to you to think, I should document this and send it out. So... How did you feel when the earthquake happened? What was your initial thoughts on that?
Okay. How about the earthquake, guys?
And this is the earthquake in 2010, for people listening.
Yeah, it was like January 12th, 2010. How about the earthquake, guys? I've never heard about the earthquake until that's happened to me.
Really?
I've never heard from the school or like from the internet anything about like the earthquake. That's crazy, guys.
Wow.
I remember that day. That was like, I thought that was a Tuesday, if I remember last Tuesday, something. Mm-hmm. And I went to work. I was working for my television I used to work. And then they sent me to the, guys, I'm just going to give you like, you know, a similar thing. Mm-hmm. I went to a Congress. Or you call that Capitol, right? I think where the senator like sit to do thing. Yeah. In our country, we call that the parliament. The parliament, it's most likely same thing.
Yeah.
You know, the Congress, the parliament.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same thing.
Okay.
So you went to the parliament.
Yeah. I went to the parliament, and then I have to shoot some photos that day. And then I see, guys, we don't really have anything interested over there. Because, you know, like, where there's a lot of senator or a representative, they talk each other. They talk each other, and then I don't see really like they have a real meeting, something important.
Yeah.
And I want to go. It was like 4:30. Uh-huh. And I tried to leave. I said, I'm not going to stay because my time is over. Like 4:30, I should done at work.
Yeah.
So, and when I left the building, right in front of the building, about to left, my boss, wife, call me. She's named Sheila. And she said, hey, Keno, they're going to have a meeting very important. I want you to go back there and then shoot some pictures. And I say yes.
Okay.
But that was a destiny. That was my destiny. I say yes, but I didn't go back in there. I keep working. That's why I'm saying, you guys, we work a lot.
Yeah.
I have to work like around where I was for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
To get a bus because I didn't have a car yet. And then I passed the first station where I should get a bus. They have only one place. I remember that day.
Yeah.
They have only one inside the bus. And then when I try to get in, there's someone getting in front of me, just getting before I do that. And I say, all right, I'm just going back home. I'm not like, you know, I'm not rushed. So let me keep working.
So you stayed a little bit later.
Yeah. And I'm just going to keep going. And then I'm going to take a second station, bus station. I'm going to like, you know, try to keep take a bus over there. And then I keep, you know, keep going. When I was exactly in front of the palais, in front of the White House for you.
Yes.
Exactly right there. There's a building we call a DGI. That's
DGI.
It's if I would say here, I would say the IRS. That's the IRS for you guys. That where you call it the taxi stuff like
that. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of the financial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where that happens. Okay.
And I was between those two buildings, darling, and then. Guys, that's that day, the earthquake, when it's coming, I remember clearly that day. There's something sound coming. You know, all the pole, you know, mirror, stuff like that. You heard everything. Ping, 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 ping coming.
Yeah.
And then everybody around me, like, you know, because here, guys, you don't have people walking on the road. But in Haiti, we got a lot of people working on the street on the road.
Because
a lot of people don't have car. They're walking. And then we asked, you know, ourselves, so what's going on? You know, because the first 3 seconds, we just heard like ting.
Pinging.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then a couple second after, the ground shaking.
And you didn't know about earthquakes at the time.
The ground shaking, and then I can't see good, because when the ground shaking, your eyes, you cannot see clearly.
Yeah.
And it stopped. The earthquake, when it's coming, I don't think it just comes straight. I mean, that the one I had in my country, it came two times. The first time it came, it was like the ground shaking, a couple seconds, and it stopped. Now, I ask myself, what's going on?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know that was an earthquake.
Why?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. But I was scared.
I would be scared. Yeah.
Because I don't know what's going on. I don't know if God coming back.
Yeah.
<I don't know. laughs> That day, I don't know. But I got my camera, stuff like that. And a couple seconds after, now I got the earthquake for real.
The second time it happened.
Now it came in the ground shaking.
Oh, no.
Well, the ground shaking, people around me like keep falling down. So what I did, because the only one thing I got, photographer, professional, you will be like that. The only one thing I got in my head, so here, I don't know what's going on. The only one thing I can do, just shoot some pictures. And then I just turn on my camera, and then I keep, you know, taking picture around me.
While it's going on?
Yeah, and then it's shaking. That's why I have to give you those pictures. I will figure it out. Then I will give you that.
Wow.
And then you will see. Because I got the DJI, the one I told you, falling in front of me, and I got the second. You know, the sequence, you know, step by step, falling down.
You got the building falling down in sequence.
Yeah. Yes, I got that.
Wow.
Because I had a professional camera. I can shoot faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Easy. That's why my photo was so famous. So people was like, want to know who.
Well, because one, you had to be in that position.
Yeah.
And two, you had to have the equipment to shoot that and the knowledge and experience to do that. So you were like the one person that could have gotten this.
I keep walking. It was like 5 p.m. something, you know, a couple minutes after. And after the ground, you know, stopped shaking. And, you know, let's see, 75 to 80% building around me was collapsed, was flat to the ground.
Yeah.
So now I see And someone, I heard someone say, that was an earthquake. No, I was experiencing an earthquake. I said, oh, that was an earthquake. And it's very bad.
Okay.
And I can tell. And I will give you this picture. I got people, because there's a lot of smoke now.
Well.
Yeah, there's a lot of smoke. You can't see anything because after, you know, those buildings collapse. So we got a lot of sand, you know, coming all over. It's like an explosion. You know, you can see anything. Only one thing I can see. I see people coming over me, you know, with like, you know, a lot of blood because a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep took this picture. I keep shooting.
Were you okay?
I was okay because I was like right on the road. I was in the woods, sit down.
Yeah.
Sit down in the road and then took this picture first. You know, I didn't have anything, you know, close to me. So gonna hit me, you know?
How long did the earthquake happen for? Was it? Like 10 minutes?
No, that was 10 minutes. Actually, we wouldn't have ED anymore. So I'm sorry. So
I have no clue.
It was like less than 1 minute.
Less than 1 minute.
Yeah.
But you watched the building fall down right in front of you.
Yeah.
Were you just really scared after that? Or
I was scared after I took this picture.
Yeah.
I realized what I did.
Yeah.
I said, damn, I did that. So yeah. Yeah. After that, yeah, I was scared when I saw people, because I saw a lot of people dead. I saw people, I keep working on the road and then took some pictures. Yeah. I got people hold my foot to say, hey, help me. Mm. And I can't do anything. There's no emergency that day. Everything was broken.
Everyone's in emergency.
Yeah, you can't find someone to help you. You have to help yourself. Once you got the family close to you and then it was next to you, didn't have any injuries, can help you. But you have to help yourself. It was like the hand of the world.
Hmm.
Because you see people dying in front of you.
Yeah.
And you can do nothing. You can see people head or hands, let's say arms, out of the building and then the whole body under the thing, you know. And you see blood everywhere.
Mm.
I told you, I got people when I'm working, hold my feet, ask me for help, but I can do nothing.
Mm.
Because I can't lift those stuff, they're heavy.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. And not knowing if people under there are alive or not. Like,
no, a lot of things was dying.
Yeah.
They died. Dead. That's why we have a lot of people dead. Because we don't have any, emergency, you know, like as you got guys can take care of this situation quickly.
Mm.
We have to wait couple hours, even days, for, you know, people different country come to help us save some people.
Yeah.
They save a lot of life because people staying 2 weeks under that building collapse and then they're still alive. Yeah. We got people after 2 weeks.
You were able to get people after 2 weeks of being stuck under a building.
Yeah. And they're alive. Yeah.
Wow.
Some are like an angel. I got my ex girlfriend. Unfortunately, got like, you know, his face. That one was broken. He's still alive, but you know.
Sure.
Yeah, but she don't look like the same person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's something I always got in my head when I see some people, they don't respect, you know, life. They don't respect people. They don't respect, so whatever God give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You breathing good. You don't have any stomach headache or whatever like issue you can have in your life. But you try to put yourself in problem and trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You can see like, oh, God bless me that day. Listen, if I was staying or listen to my boss that day and stay in that building was broken too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was collapsed. So if I was over there, I was die.
Because you stayed late, you were saved from.
No, because I don't want to stay. I said I'm going home.
Yeah.
She told me to get back. I said no. I'm going home. So if I was in on the street, you know, walking, I would be over there, and then there's no cano no more. You know. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Because that building was collapsing. It was like fell.
Yeah. And as we know now, it took a long time to repair from those damages that happened, right?
Those damages don't really fix. Mm-hmm. If you got your own building, you can repair it. But from the government, they don't really do that much. Even around the world, they try to help us to, you know, to stand up again. Mm-hmm. But not really. Not really. Like, you know, we can say like 30%. Mm-hmm. They fix some stuff.
Would you say that this earthquake changed Haiti? Like, just looking out, did it change it drastically from before, or not so much? You feel like, did life go back to normal after a year, 2 years, three?
Not normal.
Yeah.
I can't say that. Because lost a lot of friends and family in that day. You can't forget that first. And then when you got a government, they don't care about us. Or you gonna see things become normal now.
Yeah.
They don't really care about us. I have to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, because losing family, friends, and also the government not taking care of the repairs.
The way it's supposed to be now.
Everything was in ruin.
Yeah, because we got a fraud problem, you know. That's a fraud issue. So money, it's coming over paper. Say, hey, that money for the reparation. But I think that money goes through to their pocket sometime. You know? So, yeah, that's why we can stand up. Uh-huh. Like, we're still, like, you know, struggling. You know?
Yeah.
But since I came here after 5 years... my ex-wife brought me here, and I came here, and I realized the way I was lived over there, and then the way I started live here. Yes, everything was different for me.
Mm-hmm.
Language, culture, people I'm dealing with, and then what I got as a future in this country. Okay. So, I had my mindset. Okay, my friends say, okay, you're coming in America, you're lucky, no, you're going, you're a photographer, you're gonna do this, you're gonna do that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about all of this stuff. Yeah. Since I came, life got me. I got that reality. My wife, ex-wife, she get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
3 months I got here. I don't even know how to say really good, like, hi. Even I still can't, but I've tried to say hi very well to people. But I got that responsibility. I have to take care of my wife and my ex-wife and my, you know, she was pregnant, and my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep struggle once I step on. I mean, I got a different life now. My life coming better and better.
Mm-hmm.
But tell you that your first day I touched the ground, JFK airport.
Jeff?
JFK, that's the airport from New York.
Oh, sorry, JFK.
JFK,
yeah.
So I breathe a new air. I can see I'm a different country, and that's nothing compared to Haiti. I surround me, people, you know, road, building, everything I've never seen before. I seen that on the TV. But no, I saw the reality in this country. And when I start working here and I see you guys, or you respect people, or you follow the policy, or you follow the law, there's something I have to to deal with. When I say that, it's not like I didn't respect the policy over there, but here, you can't, like, you know, ignore anything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you're gonna be in trouble.
Yeah.
You know? So I've never done anything wrong in my country, even here, still then, and I keep continuing like that. But and when I spoke with my friend in Haiti, so I said, hey, here, it's like, it's a bigger country around the world about like everything, you know, economically, political, like, you know, everything you can imagine. Yeah. Here, it's, you got that opportunity to to reach your destination, your goal. But you have to respect the law.
Yeah.
You're not going over anything.
It's a little different.
Oh, yeah. Don't try. Don't try.
Yeah. So after you took these photos and you said you were the only person to get these photos in sequence, they started going around the world, right? Signal FM published these.
Yes.
And what? How did people get a hold of these? And how did you meet Anderson Cooper?
Okay. After my, the way I work, used to work, they, you know, put that, those photo online, and then everybody I've seen like around the world, I have to go in our website. That's why our website keep freezing, because there's a lot of people keep searching. Yeah, it was like freezing
too
all
much
the time.
Traffic.
Yeah, exactly. It was, yeah, it was hard. Even us cannot work on it. It was so hard. So I mean, there's a bunch of radio or television, like international, came to meet who, you know, shoot those pictures. And that day, one day I was over there, and then my boss called me, he said, where you are? And I said, back. They said, coming. Someone want to see you. And I know, and I knew Anderson Cooper. I used to see CNN and YouTube, stuff like that in my country. So, and I said, oh, I know that guy. He said, I'm Anderson Cooper, and I know you. But, you know, I didn't have, like, a good English that day. And I said, sure. I know you. And then that guy was, man, he was so happy. Oh, just lift me like that. He was so happy. He said, you are very strong. You are very smart. Can you tell me how you do that? Are you scared? Like, the same way you were scratching me.
Right.
And how you feel like when you do that. I said, as a professional, that's my job. So if I have to do that, I do that. So he said, you didn't thinking about your family that day. I said, yes, I did, but what can I do? That's the only one thing I can do.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I can do nothing.
You can't go to your family.
Yeah, I'm not Superman. I'm not, you know? So I said, yeah, after that, I did try to see who's alive, who I can see, who I can help. But now, if you see this picture, if they can share, because I did that. Because I was the only one person after this picture.
Yeah.
Everybody got this picture after the earthquake. But I got those pictures.
And
exactly when they have earthquake. You know what I mean?
Was right.
Like, because I got the sequence. The sequence, you know?
Right. Yeah. And it really was just a God thing that you were there at that time to take those pictures, and that helped you. You would not have had that happen.
Yeah.
So you can find these photos if you go to type in DGI Haiti earthquake 2010.
Yeah. Even you, if you go to CNN and then you just go in back in the days, like, you know, date like 2010 in Haiti earthquake, because CNN shared this picture in their website, you know, so we'll see Carter Z or Wallace Kennel, my name. So that way you're going to see this picture. Yeah. Yeah, if you know, looking for deep, because it's a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you will find it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's pretty incredible.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yeah.
It is. It really is. And I'm happy I did that, because that was help after those pictures. The government used those a lot for whatever they're doing, you know, after, you know, the earthquake. Every year they use those picture, you know, to show people what was going on in my country. Still my picture. But
yes.
they was paying for that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you stayed there until 2015.
Yeah, five years after I left. I got married with my ex-wife, and they brought me here.
And you met your ex-wife through some of those news stations, the government?
No. Like media, Facebook. There's a lot of people looking for me on Facebook, because I was a little bit like famous.
Yeah.
Famous, can say that. Because my name, it's all over.
Yeah.
And I worked, and I worked on that television and what, and then that radio station. It was the only one stay on because all the radio station or the television they were shut down. The one I worked, you see that? I was the best photographer. I was the one working in, you know, only one radio station stay on.
Yeah.
So everybody want to know news about the family, even here, all over the world, like even in Canada and USA. Yeah. They keep calling that radio or email that radio.
For updates.
And then they ask for my name because that's the only one name they know because I was like everywhere. And then they ask, oh, I got like, you know, my sister living, like they always like tell me like, you know, the places the family live. Can I please figure out if they're still alive?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of things. That's the way I met my wife on Facebook. My ex-wife, yeah. I met her on Facebook. We talking, he asked me about their family, stuff like that. And then we keep become friends, and then, you know what, and then we became in love. And she came to meet me in Haiti. That was very nice. And then I'm here.
Yeah. And then you made, it was a world of difference coming here. And how did you become a truck driver? Like you said, you have a lot of experience. You probably could be doing news, photos, media.
Yeah.
How did you become a truck driver?
Okay, since I came here and then I started living with my ex-wife, things wasn't going well. Experience is like a new culture, and then someone don't want to know you wasn't born here. You don't know nothing about this country. You need more time, you know, to learn. And then you got a lot of pressure. You had to pay bills, stuff like that. It's hard for immigrant when you came here. You know what I mean? It's very hard if you don't have someone really want to help you out. So you got, oh, listen, you're going to work somewhere. And then when you spoke with your boss, he said like three words, and then you understand one. Because for you, it's too fast. You need time, and you cannot say no. You know, you try to say when he left, you say, oh, what did he say? You know, and why I'm telling you that, because when I came here, I was like to deal those situation. And then when I get back home after work, you got, you know, ex-wife, it's so, I don't know, he put a lot of pressure on me. And I have to looking for like a better opportunity because I say, no, you know what? I need more money to get me away in that situation because it was about money. It really was about money. And I was before working like people with a special need. And then I went to school to become a school bus driver. And then by the time I was a school bus driver, I got all my friends in Canada, and I got like two or three here, like they driving the bus, truck. They say, Keno, I know you're a hard worker. I know you can truck. You can drive a truck. Why you don't try?
Yeah.
Why don't try? And I always tell them, give me more time, give me more time, because I just started driving like a bus.
Yeah.
So I need more time.
You want to get familiar and comfortable.
Yes, exactly. And then I start going to school for that. And when I pass my license, and couple of days, I just go on Google. I just put best company, truck company.
Okay.
Guess what was the first one?
What was it?
Newsbomb.
No way.
Newsbomb was the first company.
Where did you live at that time?
I was living in Connecticut.
Okay.
Connecticut, okay. So, and I said, oh, well, let me apply for that. And I applied for different company. But I tried a little bit in Swift, but I just went for the orientation. But things didn't go well. And then when I get back and I spoke with CJ.
Ah, CJ Conger.
Yeah, and then, like I said, you guys, you got something, it's very powerful, and keep using it. Because the way you speak with people, guys, that's a better thing. Feel comfortable, you give that trust, and people feel like, hey, that's the way I'm supposed to be. So after I spoke with CJ, and everything was good. And I think I spoke with Carol. Yeah. And I told my wife, right now, it was my girlfriend, and I say, hey, I got somewhere I'm gonna work. He said, Willie, you just started like in Swift. I said, hey, don't talk to me about Swift. I'm sorry. That's it.
I got a new place.
Yes. And when I came here, since the first day I started to have my orientation, and again, I call my mom and I call my wife and I say, look, I got a new family. And I say, I don't know if because I just taught it. They try to make you feel like you know. Let's see. And now, I don't have nothing to say, guys, because things going better and better and better.
Good.
And like I said, when I spoke with my friend of my whoever like driving like a truck.
Yeah.
They call me and then we talking about our company. And they say, you will never leave that company, you, right?
Yeah.
I know because, like my cousin like to say, I got that package, right. Newsbomb. It's not only, let me tell you something. There's, someone told me something about Newsbomb.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize once he told me that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Newsbomb, it's a family company.
Mm-hmm.
But when I figured out, is that you? He said, that's why they take care of people like that. They consider us like a family. Not like, you know, a regular, like an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They listen to you. They understand you. And they give you so whatever they can, you know, to make you happy or to make you comfortable. And it's not only about the equipment. It's about, you know, when you talk to your DM, when you're talking to anyone around you, you know. So they make you feel, if they can, I mean, do it right now, they can do it like later. So it's like they do it already.
You know?
They just did already. So like I say, it's a family company. It's not like somewhere you just come to work and they just give you your money.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than that. It's a package.
It's a package deal.
Yeah. It's a
package. Yeah. I love that. Everything.
No, it is true.
Yeah.
It is true. And I keep saying that. And that's why, guys, you block my feature right now because I'm here. I don't know. Usually, I always like, you know, figure out like, what's going to go in after.
Yeah.
But no, I don't have any goals. My goals is Newsbomb right now.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't have anything, you know, thinking about after Newsbomb.
Okay.
You know, I just,
it's great.
Just want to be, try to do better and better to be like, you know,
yeah.
One of your best driver. That's what I have to do.
Yeah. You've been here since February of 2023 and you've already been doing a great job. I've just from other people heard that HR safety, that you've been doing really good, safe driving, and that you haven't gotten a ticket at all since you've been to the US.
No, you haven't gotten tickets. No. Since I was born.
Since you were born.
I never had a ticket.
Yeah.
No. Even I was in my country, I never stopped by police for anything wrong. No.
That's awesome.
Yes. I was stopped by police and just give me my license back, say, have a good day. That's it.
He said, okay, you're good to go.
Yeah. Well, I never had anything.
I have one last question, and then we're going to conclude for the episode.
Okay.
So the motto here at Newsbomb is purpose-driven. What does it mean for you to be purpose-driven?
I mean, how can I explain that? Purpose driving. You guys, you got everything set already. As a driver, came in this company. Remember, Newsbomb is my first company driver.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I started working with you guys. You're talking about purpose? My purpose is Newsbomb now. My purpose is Newsbomb tomorrow. Why? Because you already have a set. You already set everything for us. So, I don't know. Why can I have... It's very strong, you know, to say, why I don't know. My purpose driving it's you. That's it. My purpose driving, it's like, it's what you gonna show me more, mm-hmm. better than you've been doing right now. Mm. All I can say, just keep going, guys. And thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, that's great. Purpose driven is to be purposeful in what you're doing now. That's what I'm hearing, is that the thing that I'm doing now, the thing that I'm doing tomorrow, I'm gonna do all my attention, my focus, do that to the best of my ability. So
yes, just truck driver, you know, on the road it's very sometimes it's complicated. People don't drive well, so you have to be careful.
There's a lot of bad drivers out there.
But be positive.
Be positive.
Yeah. Very positive, because God ahead everything you've been doing. You know, and then once you follow the rules, you follow the policy, and then you have to. But me, since I was born, my mom teach me I have to trust God. Mm-hmm. Put God in everything, and everything will be good.
Yeah.
You know, well and positive for you.
Yeah.
So, yes, always try your best to be positive for your purpose driving and this company, and then I think everything going well. Okay. Mm-hmm. Make yourself happy. Make your family happy. Listen, make myself happy right now. Mm-hmm. It's doing my job well. It's equal make Newsbomb happy, mm-hmm. because I did the job the way they want to. Mm-hmm. It's automatically make my family happy, because that money gonna help me.
Yeah.
You know, my house.
Yeah.
So for me, that's a purpose driving. It's just to be positive at all time. Yeah. If you can't say, hey, how can I do that the different way? Don't do thing, you know, you think, hey, I think I'm gonna make it. Don't ever think you see clearly it's negative, and then you're gonna try to change it in positive thing. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Because that's the way you're gonna see, oh my gosh, I have that possibility. Why do that? We know I mess up. No, look, my life, no. Mm. I ruined my life. Yeah, always try to do things better way, the way it's supposed to be. Mm. Even that gonna take long. Like example, you guys, see the way you're training people. You know, some people not coming in because they say, oh my gosh, I'm gonna stay like 3 months round. But you don't understand. After that 3 months, you're gonna one of the best driver on the world, like, you know, driving, because that, you know, ability that Newsbomb gave you. You see things your trainer was like show you, what Newsbomb more told you when you were like, you know, in your training staff. So that's why you spend your time. You don't spend your time for nothing. And that's not for Newsbomb. That's for you, for your life, you know, because you have that forever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes things are not about like, I'm trying to do it faster. It's about, I have to do it. The time is gonna take, but I'm doing the right way. You're gonna be good. Everyone around you gonna be good.
Yeah.
Everyone gonna love you. You're gonna love everyone. You're not gonna make people anger. You're not gonna make people, you know, mad at you. And you're gonna not mad against anybody. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. The training's for a purpose.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And I had my training like 2 or 3 days in when I was on Swift. Even I didn't stay over there. I stayed like 3 days and I left. But when I came here, I realized I just came back to school.
It's time to learn again.
Yeah, but it was good.
Okay.
And it was good. If I'm on the road right now and I'm still doing, you know, things the way I supposed to do, because you guys are training well. Because you're training me well. And you keep doing it. You keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know? And thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing your story and all of it. I found it inspiring. So that's all the time we have for today in this episode.
Okay.
But thank you for the listeners. And I got Kennel on my left. I got Daniel behind the camera. filming for us. So thank you again. And until next time, stay purpose-driven and own it every moment.
Hi, everyone. This is CJ from Recruiting at Nussbaum, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit nussbaumjobs.com. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into the conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, own every moment and stay purpose-driven.